السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، in a couple days, the last 10 nights of Ramadan will start. How fast Ramadan has gone by. Take advantage of the last few moments of Ramadan by filling your bank accounts. I know we say it all the time. The problem is because we cannot see something, it's hard to really practice on it. You know, every day I sit here and I give a lecture, I'm tired every single day. To those who say, hey, maybe take a break today, trust me, I want to take a break every day. You know why I don't take a break? Because I have convinced myself for 30 days I want to work as hard as I can. Because I understand that within these 30 days, what I can accumulate, what we all can accumulate together, will be so valuable when we die. Despite being sick, you see me leading. I didn't have to lead. They were more than capable of leading. But for 30 days, I said, I'm going to push myself to the best of my ability. And this isn't to brag or anything, but even the day I was sick and I did not make it, you know, I like to make it a point that I fulfilled the sunnah of reciting reading the entire Quran in Taraweeh. I'm going to pose a question, and it's not for anyone to answer to me. But ask yourselves, when is the last time I stood in Salah and I listened to the entire Quran in Salah? Have we ever done that in our life? Does it really matter if we're praying 8, 12, 14, 16, or 20? At the end of the day, ask yourself a question. When's the last time I stood in Salah to listen to the entire Quran? You know, we talk about the scholars of the past. They used to recite Quran in the middle of the night all the time. We think we're amazed. And it's amazing. It's a very difficult feat to do. We have one opportunity in an entire year for most of us who are not Huffaz. For the most of us even who are Huffaz, who do not spend the rest of the year reading, especially not in the middle of the night, because we have a life too. You know, we have work, we have things to do, we get tired. We have 1 month, 30 days to work hard. And I have convinced myself, maybe I have blinded myself to this, that for 30 days, no matter what happens, I will do my best. So even the day I was sick, I read the entire juz that I had in Tarawih by myself. And yes, I sat down. Because that's okay. You know, often at time I hear people say, my back hurts, my leg hurts, my this hurts. I said, sit down and pray nafal, you can pray. I'm ashamed. You're ashamed in front of Allah? Then that's good. You're ashamed, you know you can do it. That's why you're ashamed. Then stand and pray. But ask yourselves this question, for 30 days, am I doing the most I can, or am I doing just what's convenient for me? And inshallah, if we convince ourselves for 30 days I will work as hard as I can, then you'll know why for 30 days I continue to give a lecture despite my throat hurting, despite my head hurting, despite me having congestion. I just try my best to do it. I'm so tired after this, you have no idea. But because for 30 days I've convinced myself that I want to earn as much as I can, and I bring you along for the ride. Some of you may like it, some of you may not like it. I hope at least every one of you benefits from it. So often, sometimes we discuss some of the methods of the Prophet ﷺ in today's lecture. Last year I talked about the previous Anbiya. Maybe somebody felt like, I don't care about history. You know, everybody has their own topic they like. And maybe some people are not finding the topic so interesting. And that's okay. We're all humans. We have different things that we like. But the least I say is listen to it. I'm not talking about myself. I'm not talking about some historical figure. I'm talking about the man we all claim to love, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even if we cannot emulate him, then we should at least learn about him. And how many of us can sit here and say, outside of Ramadan, I spend every single day, at least 5 minutes a day, at least 10 minutes a day, I read about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can any of us say that? Outside of Ramadan, we do that. Can we even say that there are 30 days and 11 months that we do that? That even for Jumu'ah Salah, we try to come at the last second to catch the khutbah, which most of us can't even understand. To catch the Salah, and then make ourselves feel good that we prayed Salah. When are we learning about our deen? Has it become such that we are so comfortable with whatever information we have and we feel like that's enough? That's it. I can't learn anymore. But when it comes to dunya, we're always willing to expand our knowledge. So re-evaluate yourselves. Think about it. How much do I really give time to learning? Learning the deen, learning about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, learning about the man we claim to love. And then you will find most of us, including me, will probably put our heads down in shame and say, most of my life probably goes into worrying about dunya stuff, worldly affairs. And that's understandable, we live in this world. I don't want to go off on this tangent any more than I already have, but it's something that's in my heart that I really want everybody to understand, that at least for 30 days, tell yourself that I'm going to do as much as I can. And inshallah, whatever you did this year, the next year you'll be able to do more. And the next year you'll be able to do more. And the next year you'll be doing more. And then maybe you will find yourself saying, yeah, I remember. I don't remember the last time I did not read the entire Quran in Salah in Ramadan. Instead of saying, I don't remember the last time when I did. Inshallah. The two things that I want to mention, the two different ways Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam approached the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in when teaching them. One of them, according to the people of language and the people of rhetoric, they call this uslubul hakim, the method of a hakim, of a wise individual. And you honestly have to have a skill to do this. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it a point that when somebody would ask them a question, he would, if he found that the question being asked was not relevant, he would shift and turn the question to something that is more relevant. That's a skill set you have to have. It can't just be like, why are you asking this? So your child may come ask you something, and you have to learn how to gear their question into something else. So in this example, one occasion, a sahabi came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, mata sa'a? Today we're going to read a verse 2. يَسَلُكَ النَّاسُ عَنِ السَّعَةِ. They keep asking about sa'a. Sa'a means qiyamah. When is qiyamah going to happen? And see, the thing is, no one knows the answer to this question. Not even our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given that information. Over and over in Quran, the same question is posed, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, as today, قُلْ إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا إِنَّ اللَّهِ. I don't have that knowledge, only Allah has it. So instead of just telling him, I don't know, this is a question I don't have information of, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned the question to this. He said, what have you prepared for it? Meaning, he did not answer his when, but he geared his question to something else. And he said, what have you prepared for Qiyamah? That's more relevant for the person. Don't worry about when, but ask yourself, what have you done for it? And so on this occasion, this sahabi, he said, look, I don't have a lot of fast, I don't have a lot of zakah, I don't have a lot of charity. In simple words, I haven't done a lot of extra things. But I can tell you this much, I love Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I love Allah and you, Ya Rasulullah. And so on that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you will be raised with the one whom you love. And in all honesty, I could spend the rest of the night talking about this one narration. And I should do justice to this narration. That last statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, was the greatest, one of the greatest days for in their life. When they heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, "Anta ma'a man ahabba," you will be with the one whom you love, it was the greatest day for them. You know why? Because for the Sahaba radiallahu ajma'in, being away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a very difficult thing. They couldn't bear being away from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But they knew that when he would die and they would die, and inshallah, even if we're in Jannah, the thing is, the level Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be at and the level we will be at is nowhere. We're not going to be close to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how can we, at a lower rank, have the luxury of seeing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever we want? So they felt a bit of unease at this. So in this narration and another narration, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to not make it too long, told them, "You will be with the one whom you love." And it made them so happy, because they all said, "We love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." These are the same people that when it came to the sunnah of our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith always, I just remember this narration every single time. It was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, I believe, or maybe it was Abdullah ibn Masud. I'm pretty sure it was Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. One day he was traveling, and it was from Makkah to Quba, and Rasulullah Madina to Quba, and Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he took his camel, and he went like this, and he kept going in different directions with his camel, or whatever mount he had at the time. He went here, he went this way, then he went that way, and then he stopped somewhere, and then he went to a tree, and then he came back. So the Sahaba of the Ajma'in, or the companions were with him, maybe the Tabi'in, the Sahaba, why did you do this? Like, why did you move your car this way, then that way? Like, what was the point of doing that? Man, this is love. He said, one day we were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam traveling on the same route with the same intention to go to Masjid Quba. And I saw my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam take his camel this way, or his mount this way, take his mount this way. And then I saw my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stop his mount here. He got off his mount, he went over there, and he relieved himself, and he came back. So out of my love for him, I imitated him. For all those people who want to sit here and say, if that's bid'ah, then you don't know what love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. That was love. That was muhabbat. He didn't do it saying it was sunnah either. But he wanted to emulate him to the exact method in how he moved his mount. And he didn't even have to use the restroom. He went and imitated him. Today, you can't do anything. Anything you do, people say it's bid'ah, bid'ah, bid'ah. Love our Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the way the Sahaba radiallahu anhu loved him. So that was one method, and that was that he took a question and he geared it another way. And the next thing that I wanted to talk about, I feel like I've already, you know, taken too much time, so inshallah we'll just keep it for the next session, inshallah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.